nếu như
globalization to a large extent is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules, and yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
When we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half, we have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno o poldan.
Okoljevarstveniki vseh dežel, združite se! V zadnjem Zeitgeistu smo se posvetili pariškemu podnebnemu dogovoru. Ugotovili smo, da so de facto nezavezujoč dogovor in v njem predvidene prostovoljne zaveze glede zmanjševanja izpustov nezadostne za zadano omejitev dviga globalne temperature na 2 stopinji Celzija. Poleg tega predvideni mehanizmi za pomoč državam v razvoju, ki bolj kot na državni pomoči temelijo na tržnih mehanizmih, odražajo predvsem tendenco po odpiranju novih trgov. Tak dogovor je rezultat politično-ekonomske realnosti. V današnji južni hemisferi pa se posvečamo drugi realnosti. To je realnosti, ki jo doživljajo tisti, ki so najbolj na udaru podnebnih sprememb in omenjenih tržnih mehanizmov. Koncept podnebne pravičnosti pomeni reševanje problema podnebnih sprememb na način, ki poleg okoljskih upošteva tudi politične in socialne razsežnosti problematike. Znotraj tega pa obstaja več pristopov, ki jih pojasni Juri Rongel iz International Institute for Applied System Analysis.
Many NGOs argue that it is the cumulative amount of emissions per capita over the entire time period that needs to be calculated as a fair share. In the scientific literature, you also find many other assumptions, for example, or other approaches. For example, another approach is to say that just global per capita emissions need to become equal by 2050, or other approaches are that the mitigation costs in each region need to be the same.
Ne glede na to, katerega od opisanih pristopov prevzamemo, pa ob predpostavki omejitve dviga temperature na 2 stopinji Celzija, sprejeti dogovor ne ustreza kriterijem podnebne pravičnosti. Razmerje med izpusti na prebivalca v Indiji in ZDA je 1:10. Kumulativne emisije razvitih držav od začetka industrializacije do danes so že presegle njihov pravični delež. Dogovor ne predvideva zadostnih zmanjšanj izpustov in finančne pomoči, da bi ta nesorazmerja odpravil na način, ki bi hkrati zagotavljal omejitev dviga temperature na 2 stopinji Celzija. Stroški prilagajanja podnebnim spremembam so nepredvidljivi, denarna pomoč revnejšim državam pa tudi na tem področju premajhna. Neupoštevanje nesorazmeri razvijajočim se državam jemlje pravico do razvoja, kakršno so uživale razvite države. Pogoj za industrijski razvoj je dostop do energije. Ta pa je najdostopnejša v obliki fosilnih goriv. Cena obnovljivih virov sicer pada, a hkrati je razpoložljivost te energije odvisna od vremenskih razmer, na primer sončne obsevanosti, in ne sledi potrebam po energiji. Opiše Sudhakar Kumarasamy iz Indijskega nacionalnega inštituta za tehnologijo Maulana Azad.
Availability, there are two indicators for assessing such technologies. We need to monitor the performance ratio and the capacity utilization factor. The capacity utilization factor or availability factor for such power plants, especially renewables, are very less. As I said, it depends on the climatic condition as well as the availability of the raw material, especially biomass resources. Therefore, the capacity utilization factor is an issue where the where we will be able to generate power only for a certain period of time. The capital cost is, as I have said, it is comparable. However, the utilization factor, when it comes to utilization factor, it is comparatively lesser than the conventional power plants. That is the problem with the renewable-based technology. Your CUF and the performance ratio is very less. But still, this can contribute to the overall energy mix of the country. Thereby, we can promote such technologies. In the long run, we cannot completely depend on conventional. Therefore, these technologies also can, in spite of its low performance ratio and low capacity utilization factor, still these technologies can contribute to the energy profile of our country. That's why we are going for it.
Okoljsko pravičen prehod na okolju prijaznejše načine pridobivanja energije v razvijajočih se državah bi zahteval izdatno denarno pomoč strani industrializiranih držav, ki pa, kot smo ugotovili v Zeitgeistu, ni zadostna. Tako imenovana pomoč, ki je prisotna, pa je večinoma sestavljena iz privatnih investicij, ki jih usmerja nevidna roka trga in iz upravljanja z okoljem izrinejo druge deležnike. Največkrat so na udaru staroselske skupnosti. Več Edna Kaptojo iz kenijske organizacije Indigenous Information Network.
What's happening now nowadays is that there's a top-down approach in terms of initiatives that are being brought down to communities which do not reflect people's culture that are resulting in displacement of communities. Like, for instance, because climate change, one of the mitigation strategies to have renewable energy or clean energy and like the geothermal power systems result in they evict people without compensation, communities are not involved in the decision making because the project is seen in the national interest and is central, the people do not take part in it and it's aid for the national interest, so they have to move and this is forceful eviction. So the displacement and other things, when people are not put at the center of decision making and their rights are not respected and their culture as well, then I do not believe there is justice within a system.
Eden izmed programov, ki bo zaradi svoje narave najbolj vplival na življenje staroselcev, je program Red Plus. Ta predvideva komodifikacijo gozdov in pretvorbo njihovih pozitivnih učinkov na podnebje v ogljikove kredite. Obširneje pa smo ga opisali v Zeitgeistu. Alberto Saldamando iz Indigenous Environmental Network pojasni negativne vplive tega programa na staroselska ljudstva.
The forests are where many of our people live, many indigenous peoples live. I represent indigenous peoples in these talks through the Indigenous Environmental Network. And our concern is that as private investors start investing money in forests and expecting a return, they expect to own the trees. They will control what happens to the trees. So that for indigenous peoples, many of them that are involved in these kinds of programs, that get involved in these kinds of programs, can't use the forest any longer to maintain their traditional life ways. They won't be able to clear a field. They aren't able to clear a field. They aren't able to fell a tree to build their housing. In fact, one guy from Brazil told me that they weren't even allowed to fish. So that as these private monies get invested into indigenous forests, indigenous peoples lose control over their forests, they lose the use of the forest, and it will change their whole ways of life. It will change their whole life way, their identity, their language. It will affect their culture. If they can't use the forest, they talk, the REDS program talk about alternative life ways. So they also plan to develop non-forest dependent industries and businesses. So they can, that's the plus in Red Plus. Reds is the reforestation. Plus is non-forest dependent development. That's the plus. They can have other kinds of development. They fully expect to create situations of employment for indigenous peoples out of the forest. So they can go to the cities or go to urban areas and get non-traditional employment, really a way of a colonial, it's a colonialism of the indigenous forest. It's the replacing or removal of indigenous peoples over time. That's what we fear.
Za ilustracijo predstavimo en tak primer iz območja Bukaliba v Ugandi, kjer je prihod plantaže borovcev za lokalno prebivalstvo pomenil prekinitev z ustaljenim načinom življenja. Predstavi sekretar vaške skupnosti v Bukalibi. Tukaj sem od leta 1983. Ko sem prišel v to območje, ki se imenuje Bukaliba, je bila tu državna kmetija, ki je delovala s pomočjo države. Po nekaj časa, leta 2001, so nam rekli, da se moramo znebiti živali. Na to je prišla gozdna plantaža. Predtem so imeli ljudje tu vozove, gojili so pšenico in ostale pridelke. Po prihodu plantaže so nam dovolili, da smo nekaj malega zasadili med drevesi. Ampak zdaj so rekli enostavno ne, ničesar ne smete gojiti. In zdaj lahko samo posedamo brez dela in hrane. Vso hrano moramo kupiti od zunaj. Nekateri mladi iz okolice so odvisni od dela na plantaži, da zaslužijo za hrano. Ampak razen tega ne moremo delati ničesar več. Reševanje podnebnih sprememb, kot ga predvideva v Parizu sklenjeni dogovor, pa bo imel negativne posledice tudi tam, kjer je kmetovanje še dovoljeno. Rast temperatur povzroča spremembe v dobavi vode in jača intenzivnost vremenskih pojavov. Kumarasami opiše že prisotne posledice podnebnih sprememb na kmetijstvo v Indiji, pri čemer izpostavi dve najrevnejši regiji, območje ob Bengalskem zalivu in Kašmir.
Parts of southern India, I could say, thereby the cyclones and the disasters, because the Bay of Bengal side, at this side of our country, we have the West Bengal, where is Tamil Nadu, Andhra, there is a big vast coastline. Most of the ocean currents happens, depressions all happens in the Bay of Bengal. And all the disaster effect has happened only through this depression formed in the Bay of Bengal region. It doesn't happen on the Arabian Sea. It happens only on the Indian Ocean. Thereby, this part of the India, especially the states like Tamil Nadu, Andhra, and then Orissa and West Bengal are worst affected by all these cyclones. And regarding the agricultural productivity, I could say the locations, there is a region called Kaveri Delta region in Tamil Nadu where they depend on water for the paddy growth. That is being worst affected, and then they are not able to grow the paddy this particular season. And because India is a country where rice is a major commodity, people used to take rice in their food, and rice cultivation is worst affected in these regions. Kaveri Delta region is there, especially in Tamil Nadu. That region is worst affected. And some part of the northern India where they depend on certain fruits or certain vegetables, so that cultivation is getting affected. Northern part of India, especially Jammu Kashmir and all these regions, those are all worst affected because the glaciers are melting, the water bodies are either receding or it is flooded. Say this kind of effects are observed for the past 5-10 years. People have observed, farmers have shifted their agricultural crop. In fact, in Jammu and Kashmir, people are dependent on apple for their cultivation. Now the farmers are not growing apple, instead they are switching on to other crops for their livelihood.
Podobnimi težavami, s kakršnimi se soočajo v Indiji, se spopadajo v večini od kmetijstva odvisnih razvijajočih se držav. Z nezadostnimi zavezami za zmanjševanje izpustov pa se porast temperature zelo verjetno ne bo ustavil pri domnevno še obvladljivih 2 stopinjah Celzija. Učinki na kmetijstvo pa bodo v prihodnosti še večji. Kmetje so tako namesto uporabe za ston naravnih semen siljeni v kupovanje genetsko modificiranih, ki so bolj odporna na sušo, poplave ali druge vremenske pojave, a zdržijo le eno sezono. Kupovanje semen pripomore k prezadolženosti malih kmetov, ki si morajo denar sposojati pri mikrofinančnih institucijah. Povprečna svetovna obrestna mera za taka posojila pa se giblje okoli 30%. Namesto komada prisluhnimo opisu realnosti v obliki pesmi, ki ga je na enem izmed protestov ob pariški konferenci predstavila Kathy Gentle Kitchener z Maršalovih otokov.
I prepared the package for my friends in the States. First, the dangling earrings, woven into half moons, black pearls glinting like an eye in a storm of tight spirals. Second, the basket, sturdy, also woven, brown cowrie shells, shiny, intricate mandalas shaped by calloused fingers. Inside the basket, I write a message. Wear these earrings to parties, to classes and meetings, to the corner store, the grocery store, and while riding the bus. Store jewelry, incense, copper coins, and curling letters like this one in this basket. And when others ask you where you got this, you tell them. They're from the Marshall Islands. Show them where it is on a map. Tell them we are a proud people toasted dark brown as the carved ribs of a tree stump. Tell them we are descendants of the finest navigators in the world. Tell them our islands were dropped from a basket carried by a giant. Tell them we are the hollow hulls of canoes as fast as the wind slicing through the Pacific Sea. We are wood shavings and drying pandan leaves and siquipiros and gamims. Tell them we are sweet harmonies of mothers, aunties, sisters, songs late into night. Tell them we are whispered prayers. Tell them we are little girls with braids cartwheeling beneath the rain. We are shards of broken beer bottles burrowed beneath fine white sand. We are children flinging like rubber bands across the road clogged with chugging cars. Tell them we only have one road. And after all this, you tell them about the water, how we have seen it rising, flooding across our cemeteries, gushing over our seawalls, and crashing against our homes. Tell them what it's like to see the entire ocean level with the land. Tell them we are afraid. Tell them we don't know of the politics or the science, but we see what's in our own backyard. Tell them some of us are old fishermen who believe that God made us a promise. Tell them some of us are a little bit more skeptical. But most importantly, you tell them that we don't want to leave. We've never wanted to leave. And that we are nothing without our islands.
Dragi poslušalci, cenjene poslušalke, v drugem delu današnje južne hemisfere se bomo posvetili vprašanju, na kakšen način je mogoče organizirati boj proti podnebnim spremembam. Nedavna podnebna konferenca v Parizu je potekala le tedne potem, ko je v mestu prišlo do množičnih napadov, od takrat dalje pa so v mestu razglašene izredne razmere. V praksi to pomeni, da so bile v času same konference prepovedane vse oblike protestov in drugih aktivističnih akcij, ki pa so ključen instrument v boju za podnebno pravičnost številnih gibanj in organizacij. O tem, do kakšne mere so razglašene izredne razmere omejile proteste, smo povprašali Kate Aronoff iz Student Fossil Fuel Divestment Network.
Really, the state of emergency made people start from scratch, but it certainly didn't succeed in stamping out all forms of dissent at COP21. And for that, I think people were grateful.
Izredne razmere so torej otežile delovanje različnih skupin, a ga nikakor niso uspele preprečiti.
What's our solution?
No more pollution!
What's our solution?
No more pollution!
No war!
No warming!
Build the people's economy!
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 We are the people!
We are the people!
The mighty, mighty people!
anyone is not a solution. What we need is a revolution.
Iz strukture organizacij in gibanj prisotnih v Parizu je možno razbrati, katere so tiste skupnosti, ter iz kje prihajajo organizacije, ki se v največji meri zavedajo uničujočih posledic podnebnih sprememb. Gre predvsem za tako imenovani globalni jug. O tem, kakšne so posledice tako podnebnih sprememb, kot tudi nekaterih političnih rešitev za velik del prebivalstva teh držav, smo govorili že v prvem delu oddaje. Soočajo se s prisilnimi preselitvami, uničenjem naravnega okolja, ki jim omogoča preživetje, ter ob tem nimajo nobenega dostopa do politične moči, ki bi jim omogočila vključitev svojih zahtev in pomislekov v pogovore o tem, kako težave nasloviti. Zaenkrat manj očitne, a vseeno za številne uničujoče posledice, pa so v zadnjih letih vedno bolj pogoste tudi na globalnem severu, torej v državah, ki so nekaj stopnic višje v globalni piramidi moči. A to ne pomeni, da se v državah, kot je ZDA, ne pokažejo enaki vzorci neenakosti dostopa do zaščite in s tem osnovne varnosti pred uničujočimi učinki podnebnih sprememb. Eden bolj znanih primerov sta orkana Katrina in Sandy, katerih posledice so vidne še danes. S Kate Aronoff smo spregovorili o situaciji v ZDA in potencijalu tamkajšnjega organiziranja proti podnebnim spremembam, ter nujnosti istočasnega naslavljanja neenakosti v družbi in še vedno zelo realne diskriminacije nebelskega prebivalstva.
Was reading this summer in the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina here in the United States was that Hurricane Katrina was really the beginning of Black Lives Matter, something a number of commentators were saying. And I think that that's a really, really powerful thing to keep in mind when thinking about the connections between various issues in this country, especially, and how deeply rooted kind of the legacy of slavery and institutional racism are here. And I think, you know, we see this when disaster strikes. In the case of Hurricane Katrina, as in the case of Sandy, the people who were worst hit, first hit, are those who historically have been on the outs of society and of kind of laws in this country and of, you know, who has a right to life, really, and who has a right to basic amenities from the state and protection under the law. And so I think really seeing these things is crucially tied moving forward, thinking about what a climate movement will look like in the next several years is so important, just because what we're really asking is whose lives matter and whose security matters. And I think that's true not only when we're thinking about the legacy of racism in this country, in the United States, but also when we think about how sort of austerity politics are impacting us. As we're seeing right now in Flint, Michigan, you have an austerity regime in Michigan, which has been just cutting drastically social services for the last several years. And you have people unable to drink their water in an actual state of emergency. I think Obama just declared one. And it's examples like that where you see these environmental issues, which aren't traditionally thought of as being tied to struggles within communities of color and struggles within poor communities, and that's really a central part of where these things have their first head. So I think the connections might even be the wrong word. I think there's something more. There's a deeper sort of interrelation of them, and it's really, really hard to separate out when you start looking at the impacts of the climate crisis, how tied together these things are.
Zelo vprašljivo je torej, do kakšne mere so vladajoči sploh sposobni razumeti realnost prebivalstva, o katerikoli državi že govorimo. Pariški sporazum je še ena potrditev, da njihovo delovanje le utrjuje že obstoječe neenakosti. Obsedenost s trgom in oblikovanje približkov rešitev, ki nikakor ne nasprotujejo ekonomski logiki, ki je izvor tako imenovanih tako ekonomskih neenakosti kot tudi rasne diskriminacije in na vse zadnje podnebnih sprememb, le potrjujejo, da bo izboljšanje za večino ljudi težko prišla izpod rok trenutnih odločevalcev. Zaključi Aronov.
People are starting to realize that that change can't happen in the halls of places like Lamborghini, and won't happen in the halls of governments, but it's actually going to be driven by people's movements and by a mass movement to really demand not just that we bring down emissions, but that we create a whole different economy. I think we're seeing the real fissures and where our economy is broken. And this whole global system that we've been living in for 300 or 400 years, really fueled by these fuels that are killing people and have been killing people for many, many years. And so I think that's becoming so much more clear. And even in the last 3 or 4 years, there's been an increasing recognition that we need to be centering people in whatever we do, maybe in Corard. And so something I'm really excited about is to see movements really taking on that responsibility and realizing that, like all other major changes that have happened, whether it's women getting the right to vote, whether it's folks of color being taking the right to vote, really from through struggle.
Južno hemisfero sta pripravila Zala in Cvitr.
Globalization to a large extent is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We traveled 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.